Okay, Tobin, welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on Yevamot Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, in the middle of a discussion about Puravu and marriage and a tangential discussion about various livelihoods. And Rabbi Lezer had just made the comment that farming is a very low livelihood. And now we're picking up in the middle of the Amud. Rabbi Lezer, Chazya Lahi Ara Deshadi Be Karva Leputya. He saw a particular piece of earth that was being plowed widthwise. Amarle, he said, and evidently he said to the farmer, Itishrela Urkach, even if you plow it lengthwise, Hafuche Beiska Tav Minach. Doing business will still do better for you. In other words, no matter how much work you put and how many good strategies you use in farming your land, business is still more profitable. Rav Alaveni Shivli. Rav came up and saw the rows of grain. Chazan Rekan Naifan, he saw that they were waving in the wind. Amar Lehui Naifat Nufe Afuche B'Yiska Tav Minach. He said, no matter how much you want to wave, you can wave as much as you want, business is still a better proposition. Amar Rava, so now Rava gave some of the thing of a formula. Mea Zuze B'Yiska, if you put 100 zoos into business, Kol Yom Abisra V'Chamra, you'll have meat and wine every day. But if you put 100 zoos into the land, milcha v'chafura, you'll have salt and vegetables. That's all you'll eat. Besides that, you're going to have to sleep on the earth, and you'll have to sleep there to guard your land. Umir malay tigri, and you'll also get in lots of fights because of neighbors that you are concerned are stealing from you, etc. All right, so those are several statements that are anti-farming. Amrapapa Zora Velotazbin. Rapapa comes up with something of an oppositional statement to that, and he says that you should plant and not buy food. In other words, grow your own produce instead of buying it. Avagav the Chadani Ninu. Even if they're the same price, Hani Mevarchin. The ones that you plant yourselves have a bracha in them. Now, besides that, he had several other pieces of advice, of one thing being preferable to another. Zovin velo tidvil, or tezul, better to sell some of your things rather than to become impoverished. In other words, if you have to sell some things in order to do some business, better to do that than to become impoverished. Hani mili bistriki, but this talks about tools or mattresses or something. Avaglima lo mitram yale, but not garments. If you have to sell a garment, you may not find as good of a garment later on when you recoup your money, so those you should not sell, rather you should collect stakat. Tom velo tashbitz, this is, shall we say, an ancient version of the theory of broken windows. Tom velo tashbitz, fill in the hole before you have to repair the wall. Shvots velo tivne, and repair the wall as opposed to rebuilding the wall. In other words, when you first see a breach, repair it, because it will be a lot less expensive than having to actually repair the wall. And if you have to repair the wall, then do so, because otherwise you'll have to rebuild it. Shkola osek bevinyan mit maskein. This is a statement that we have elsewhere in Shas, Masechet Sota. Anyone who gets involved in business, in building, sorry, ends up becoming impoverished. So it's better to avoid building if you can, and if you can repair the wall. Kvotz Zovin Ara, and this will take us now back to our original theme. When you have a chance to buy land, buy it quickly. Real estate's always a good investment. Motu nasiv itadava. Take your time when getting married. Don't jump into that. Why? Nochi darga nasiv itata. Go down a station in life when marrying. In other words, marry below your station. Sak darga b'char shishbina. But when you're choosing a friend to have, you should try to choose a friend who is above your station. Somebody whose presence is going to elevate you to a higher echelon in society. Amar v'lazar bar avina. This we had earlier in the previous podcast. We say all brachot in the world happen because of Israel. Well, all punishments happen because of Israel. Look at the first set of psukim. It's two psukim in a row from Sefer Tzfanya on the text, on the page, and it reads as follows. Hichrati goyim nashamu pinotam echravti chutzotam ibli over nitzdu areyem ibli ish ben yoshev. So the cities of the goyim have been destroyed. And what's the follow-up? Amarti ach tir'i oti tichi musar. I said you should look at me and take a lesson. All right? V'lo yikareit mo'na. In other words, you should have looked at Am Yisrael and seen the lesson, and they didn't. So in other words, their punishment came because of Am Yisrael. Rav have miftar mi Rabbi Chia. Rav was leaving Rabbi Chia. Now let's just remember who's who here. Rav is Rabbi Chiya's nephew twice over. We saw in the first parak how that relationship was constructed. And Rav was a young student of Rebbe, and Rabbi Chiya was, of course, the older student of Rebbe. So Rav was leaving Rabbi Chiya, Amarle, so Rabbi Chiya, his uncle, his double uncle, said to him, Rachmana litzlach mita dikashim mita, Hashem should save you from something that's worse than death, fate worse than death. So now we ask, Umiika mita dikashim imota. So Rav thought, is there something worse than death? Nafak dak ve'ashkach, he went out and found, this is a rabbinic idiom for saying to look into a pasuk in Tanakh. They found the pasuk in Kohelet, Motse ani mar mavet ta'isha. Pasuk number 2 on the page. I find that a woman is worse than death, more bitter than death. We'll see a mitigating pasuk on this later on. So now we find that the bracha didn't work. Rav avim kametzari le devitu. His wife was bothering him. Ki amar lo avidili tzufchi. When he told her to make one kind of beans, avdale chimtzi, she made lentils. Chimtzi avdale tzufchi. Whatever he'd ask her to make, she'd make the opposite. So now what happened? Gadol chia brei. He had a son. He named him chia. Apichla. So what he did is he told Chia to ask for the opposite thing of what he wanted. Amar le yalach yal yalach imach. And so what happened is Rav said your mother must really like you, because whatever you want she's giving you. So Amar le anahu de kafichlo. No, it's not that. It's that I'm the one who's turning it around. In other words, whatever I want, I ask her for the opposite. Amar le anahu de kamri yinchi de nafik minach tama malfach. That's why people say. The nafak minach tamam alfach. The one who comes out of you will teach you reasoning. There's also a play on words here, because the one who comes out of you will also teach you tam, taste. And now he's teaching you how to get what you really want to taste, which is by asking for the opposite. The mother here was clearly a very irascible person, and you'd ask for one thing, she would definitely give you the other. So he said, at lo tavirachi, nonetheless, you should not behave this way. Why? Shinamar. Etc. Take a look at pasuk number 3, and this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Limdu l'shonam daber sheker ha'avei nil'u. So they have taught themselves to lie. That's not a good, it's a very bad thing. That's an avon. Okay, good. So even though it's a good strategy, it's a bad characteristic. V'chiyah ve'kametzare le'devitu. Or V'chiyah himself. Evidently, this is why he told Rav, God should save you from a fate worse than death, because Rabbi Chiya himself had a wife who evidently bothered him to no end, and she would bust him up, bust his chops, as we say. Whenever he would find something nice for her, he would tie it up in his handkerchief and bring it home. So Marley Rav, so Rav then turned to him and said, she's making you so crazy, she's upsetting you. Why are you bringing her nice things? You know what? We owe them, our wives, because they raise our children, and they save us from chet. Because, you know, we have a wife, and so we are not drawn to other women. Now, we continue on with this theme, and we go now to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the student of Rav. Makri the Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak Bereis. Rav Yitzchak, his son, Rav Yehuda, when he was teaching of Tanakh, he would read this pasuk. Motse ani mar mavet tada isha, it's the same pasuk in Kohelet. Amar lekigon man. So Yitzchak asked his father, Rav Yehuda, who is this referring to? He said, "Gigon imach, your mother is an example." Ah, v'amadi le'Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak berei in adam otzekard ruach elam ishto rishona. The same Rav Yehuda taught the same Rav Yitzchak his son, and said, taught him the lesson that a person finds his greatest solace with his first wife. Shemar yimakor chabaruch usmach be'eshet nu racha. The pasuk in Mishlei, rejoice with the wife of your young years. And Yitzchak said to him, who is a good example of this? And he said, Gigon Imach. So in both cases, whether the lesson was a positive one or the negative one, he used the mother as an example. So the answer is, Matkif Tkifa. She really was very harsh. But she was also easy to appease. So she was bitterer than death, but she was also one you could find solace with, because she was easy to appease. Now, Hechidami Ishara'a. We talk about an Ishara'a. What's an example of an Ishara'a? Rabbaye Mekashtele Taka, she sets the table for him. But Mekashtele Puma, and then she dresses her mouth up. And it was the whole time while he's coming to the table for what she's prepared, she's cursing him out. Rava Amar Mekashtele Taka, Rava says another example. She dresses up the table for him. Then when he sits down to eat, she turns her back to him I won't look at him. It makes him upset. So he's prepared a nice meal. In the meantime, he has no appetite because he's upset. Rechama bar Chanina. Kevan shenasa adam isha avonotav mitpakakin. When a man gets married, his sins become sort of weak. Shemar matza isha matza tov. This is the mitigating pasuk. A man finds a wife. He finds goodness. Vayafek ratzon me adonai. He gains grace in the eyes of God. But yafek, the idea of mitpakak, his sins become sort of shaken up or weakened or kind of sealed up. V'marava, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, kinasiv inish, when a person would get married, kinasiv inish itata, amrile, they would say him, or they would ask him at the wedding, hachi, they would say the following, matzah o motze, have you found, or are you finding? Meaning, matzah divdi matzah isha matzah tov, in other words, are you happy, you found a good wife? O motze divdi motze ani marav etza isha, meaning the same verb, limtso, is used in the wisdom literature in Mishlei and Kohelet, in one case to refer to finding a good wife, and the other to finding that a wife is bitter, more bitter than death. Now, Amarava, Ishara, mitzvah legarsha. He says, if you have a bad wife, one who's upsetting you, etc., it's a mitzvah to divorce her. Tichtiv, garesh leitz, v'yetzei madon, v'yishbot din, v'kalon. Expel the scornful one, and all of tribulations will be gone, and all of the anger and fighting will be gone. In other words, you have somebody in the house who's creating torment and upsetness, that person should be gone. Let's say that you have a bad wife, and she's got a very high tuba. She's divorcing her, who will be expensive. So then in that case, you should marry another woman to be with her. In other words, she will receive the rebuke better by the fact that you took another wife than by anything you're going to tell him, either by poking her with a thorn. That's basilta. In other words, that taking this other wife will be more of a rebuke to her and it'll put her in her place more, tell her she better shape up in her behavior much better than the strongest kind of rebuke. And if she has a high ketubah, then you know you can't divorce her, so that's the way to give rebuke. A bad wife is worse than a very bad rainstorm. Shenemar, delef toreid biyom sagrir, a drip. It's very upsetting on a rainy day. Ve'eshet midyanim nishtava, and a woman who is ve'eshet. Midyanim nishtava, a woman of tribulation and of anger and of fighting, is equal to that. V'yamarava, bore kama tova isha tova. Take a look and see how good a good woman is. Chamara isha ra, see how bad a bad woman is. Kama tova isha tova, dithi matza isha matza tov. The pasuk in Kohelet says, you find a good wife, you found good. Now there is a constant tension within Chazal, in the parshanut of Sefer Mishlei, as to whether the isha in Mishlei is a woman or is wisdom. And therefore, the Isha Ra'ah in Perek Zayin and Chet, who is seducing the man, is that external wisdom, or is that really an adulterous woman? So now, it says, if you find a woman you found good, I begavam ishto ikra, if it's talking really about her, so look how good a good woman is. The text, the Tanakh, praises her. I betorah ishto ikra, and if on the other hand, she's a metaphor for Torah, look how great a good woman is. The Torah is used as a metaphor. Good woman is used as a metaphor to describe Torah. So good woman is very good. Kama ra'a isha ra'a, the same thing in the inverse. Tichtiv motzei ani marav etzta isha. I begavar mishta yikra. If the pasuk is really talking about a bad woman, kama ra'a isha ra'a shkatu megana. Look how bad a bad woman is. The text goes out of its way to disgrace her. I begeinom mishta yikra. If, on the other hand, it's talking about, in this case, geinom, foreign wisdom, whatever, look how bad this bad woman is, that she's used as the model for Gehinom. Now, in the next pasuk, which is pasuk number 8 on the page from Yirmiyahu, Hinei vi ra'a asher lo yuchlu latzeit mimena. God says, I'm going to give you an evil which you cannot get out of. So clearly, the context there is talking about the ascent of Babel. Amar of Nachman Arava Baravua, but in a personal, contemporary way that pasuk could be applied. Zui Sharauch Tavatam Ruba. This is a bad woman with a very expensive ketubah. Can't get out of it. Netanani Adonai Bidei Lo Uchalkum. This is a pasuk in Eicha. God has given me over into the hands of someone who I can't get up from, away from. So Rav Chista Amarukva Barchia Zui Sharauch Tavatam Ruba. So they say the same thing. This is, again, I can't get out of it. In the West, they would translate this pasuk. In Eretz Yisrael, they translate this pasuk as somebody whose daily bread is dependent on his making money. In other words, he has nothing to rely on. And he can't get up. He can't get out of it. Pasuk in Dvarim, in the Tocha, Banechov notecha tunim la'am acher. Your children are given over to another nation, which in Pshat means captivity. This is referring to a stepmother. When a man divorces his wife, and she leaves, and she sees her children now being handed over to the care of another woman. It says, God says, I am going to anger them with a disgusting nation. Again, a reference to the bad woman at the expense of ketubah. You can't get out of it. A terrible life of tribulation. He says, no, this goin aval is not talking about a personal thing, but a social thing. Where this is talking about the tzdukim, who have power over you, and are very disgusting. V'cheinu omer, how do I know that they are called naval? Mar naval b'libo in Elohim, in two prakim and tillim, yudalad and nunbet, it says, the naval says there is no God. So we say the naval is therefore some sort of a heretic. And we now apply this to the tzdukim. Manita tana elu anshe barbaria v'anshe martinoi. We say these are Mauritanians and barbarians. They evidently walk around without much clothing. And there's nobody more disgusting before God than somebody who walks around without clothes. And this is the Naval. And if you are under the subjugation of this nation, you can't do anything about it. It's very upsetting. Rabbi Yochanan, in this line, Amar Elu Chaverim. This pasuk about the Goy Naval refers to the Chaverim. Chaverim is a reference to a particular fanatic Zoroastrian sect that under the influence of the Magians in the 3rd century or 4th century CE were able to come and rise to some sort of ascendancy in Persia. And as a result, the Jews suffered pretty terribly under them. So when they told Rabbi Yochanan in the 3rd century, Atu Chavre the Bavel, that they have arrived in Bavel, Shaga Nafal, he fell over, he was so upset. When they said, by the way, they can be bribed, Taritz Yati. Then he sat up because he said, I guess there's a way to deal with them. It's expensive, but you could deal with them. Parenthetically, in living under the Chavirim, there were 3 things that we were deprived of. And Am Yisrael understood that it was as a punishment for 3 things we had done poorly. Gazrul Gimel Bnei Gimel, the 3 things that they decreed on because of 3 things we did poorly. Gazrul Abasar, they did not allow us to have Shechita. Mibnei ha-matanot, because evidently we were delinquent in giving matanot to the kohanim of the meat. Gazur al-amer chatzaot, they evidently closed our bathhouses. Mibnei ha-tfilah, evidently we relax in tefillah and in tara. Kamachatati shachvi, and then they used to dig up the graves, because these fellows felt that burying the dead polluted the ground, and instead the dead should be thrown to the beasts of the field. Veneshus mechim biyom edam. Evidently, the reason was because we used to celebrate on their holidays. Shnemar, and how do we know that we are going to cause trouble to our dead ancestors? And so in Shmuel's diatribe against the Am after they selected a king against his wishes, and he gives them a strong warning about what will happen if the king leads them astray, he said, V'hayta yad Adonai bachem uva avotechem. Hashem will attack you and your ancestors. Now, how is Hashem going to attack your ancestors? They're dead. This is referring to grave exhumation, forced exhumation, when they would dig up graves and then take the bodies out. Because of the sins of the living, the dead are exhumed. In Yirmiyahu it says that these people will not be gathered to their death, and they will be like dung on the field. And it says that they will choose death over life. Well, how can they choose death over life if they're already dead? What it means is that not that they are choosing, but it is more choice. It is a better choice for the Rishaim to die in this world and right, so that they should not sin anymore and suffer worse. Now we're going to have an extended quote, the longest quote that I'm familiar with in Shas, from Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira was likely the strongest candidate for inclusion in the canon that was not included. It was composed somewhere in the 3rd or 2nd century BCE as a sort of modeled after Sefer Mishlei. And Ketuba Sefer Ben Sira. We have the following quote from Ben Sira. Ben Sira, by the way, is the only book of the Apocrypha that Chazal favorably quote, and they do so quite a bit. And he says the following: Yisha tova matana tova. A good wife is a good gift. Lebala uchtiv tova b'chek yirei Elohim tinatein. That a good one who lies in the bosom is a good gift of the fear of God. Yisha ra'at sarat lebala. A bad wife is like leprosy to her husband. Maita kante, so parenthetically we comment, this is not in Ben Sira. What should he do? Yigarshenu miparpei mitzaratel, divorce her, get rid of your leprosy. Isha yafa ashrei ba'ala, mispar yamav kfulim. A pretty woman, her husband should be very happy, his life is like double. Halem einecha meishet chen, keep your eyes away from an attractive woman, you know, she's married to somebody else. Penti lached b'mitzudata, so you won't be trapped by her. This is very much in the theme of Mishlei. Al tat etzel ba'ala v'nsoch imo yayin v'shechar. Don't go to her husband to drink with him. Ki v'torah isha yafa rabim hushchatu. V'atzumim kol arugah. Because many people have died because of the visage of a beautiful woman. It's sort of a play on the Helen of Troy, the face that launched 1,000 ships. This is the face that killed thousands of people. Rabim Hayupitz Erochel, the wounds of the tradesman who goes door to door, the spice salesman, are great. Amargilim Dvar Erva, Kinitzotz Mavir Gachelet, it's like a spark lights up the coals. These people who go door to door and end up committing adultery. Kichluv Malei Of Kein Batehem Laim Mirma, just like a cage that is filled with chickens. So their houses are filled with deception. Al tatzar tzarat machar ki lo tidam malat yelid yom. Don't worry about the concerns about tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Shema machar ba ve'inenu nimtza. Maybe tomorrow you won't be around. Nimtza mitzta'er alam she'in shelo. So you'll end up spending today worrying about something that's not even going to occur to you. Menara b'mitoch betacha. Don't keep the many away from your house. V'lo akol tavi betacha. Don't let automatically everyone into your house. Let many people seek your welfare, but only let one out of 1,000 share your confidences. Good, that's the quotes from Ben Sira, and many of these quotes, of course, have to do with Nisha Ra'ah, and we will assume that they are to be read literally as about an Nisha Ra'ah. This is a passage that we had a little bit earlier. The Mashiach will not come until all of the neshamot that are supposed to be created will be created. That's why we said, B'nei Vanim, children, even if they die, you still fulfill Peruvu, because you brought those neshamot into the world. Shnamar ki ruach mafanai yatof, u neshamot ani asiti. Rabbi Lazar Omer, kol mi she'in osek b'piri v'rivya ki ilo shofech tamim. Somebody who does not engage in reproduction is like a murderer. Shnamar, shofech dam adam, b'adam damo yishofech. In the re-covenanting with Adam that happened to Noah after the flood, Hashem says, someone who murders will be killed. And what does it say immediately after? About temporary, and it says, but you, on the other hand, reproduce. So that someone who kills is going to be punished, and on the other hand, you do the opposite, which is to reproduce. It's almost as if he lessens God's image. Because it says in that same Pasuk, take a look at it in Pasuk 16 on the page. Shofech dam adam, badam damoy shofech, ki b'tzev Elohim asat adam. Anybody who kills a man will be killed by man because God was created in man's image, but you, puravu, in other words, to maintain that image, as it were. Ratzei atem puravu. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai, and Ben Shimon Ben Azai, somebody we're going to deal with in a moment, says, ki ilu shofech damim umamayit adwut. He took both drasha. Shemar v'atem puravu. Good. So now, Amru lo Ben Azai. So the Chachamim said to Ben Azai, very good, you say a nice idea. Yesh da'ed doresh v'na'em ha'kayim. There's some people who speak nicely and fulfill their words nicely. Na'em ha'kayim v'ein na'ed doresh. There's some people who do the proper thing, but they're not so eloquent. V'yata na'ed doresh v'ein na'em ha'kayim. But you're the opposite. You're very eloquent, but you don't fulfill it. Ben-Azai, as we know, was not married. He was married, he divorced, he never had children. Marlene Ben-Azai, my session of Shichas Gava Torah, what can I do? I am so obsessed with the Torah, I cannot give my love to anybody else, and I cannot be a family man. Other people will have children. In the meantime, I cannot. And that, by the way, is nifsak lahalacha, but only with somebody who is truly obsessed with the study of Torah is exempt from puravu. Tanya Yidach, Rav Elazar Omer, Kol Mi She'eino Osek B'Vir V'Yirvik Yilu Shofech Damim. Same thing. Shneimar Shvoch Shofech Dam Adam. Shechli V'Atem Puravu. Rav Eliezer says the same thing that we saw earlier. Again, the same brayta. Rav Elazar Azari Omer Ki Yilu Ma'et Admut. Right, Ben-Azai Omer, etc. Ben-Azai, Yishnei Adoresh, etc. So we have Brayta that reports the same thing that we just said. We have Rabbi Eliezer, and then we have Rabbi Elazar Ben-Azariah, instead of Rabbi Yaakov, giving us the other version that's Ma'et Admut. Ben-Azai saying it's both. Then them challenging Ben-Azai and say, so how come you're not doing it? And them giving his answer. Tan Rabbanan, Uvnucho Yomar Shuvadunai Votafei Yisrael. When the Aron was at rest, Moshe would say, return Hashem, the Rivavot, which is tens of thousands, Alfei, which is thousands of Yisrael. Now, Rivavot is tens of thousands. The minimum there is 20,000. Alafim, Alfei, is 2,000. So that means we're talking here, if we take it literally, not poetically, about 22,000 people. Lameid she'ina shechina shura al pachot mishnei alafim u'shtei rivavot miYisrael. This teaches that the Shekhinah only rests, in other words, the Aron, representing the Shekhinah, only rests on 22,000 of Am Yisrael. So now, why is this being brought? Let's say you had 21,999 people. And here you've got a guy who did not participate in Piri of Rivia. This one has caused the Shekhinah not to come to Yisrael. This is a fancy way, sort of manipulating the Midrash in order to cast more light on the severity of someone who does not reproduce because of the opportunities that they are missing, or that they are having Am Yisrael miss. Avachanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Chayav Mita. He says even further, Shneimar Uvanim Lo Hayu Lahem. In the Pasuk, and it's very worthwhile taking a look at the entire Pasuk, which is Pasuk number 18 on the page. This is in Parshat Bamidbar, when it describes the census. It says that the census of the Levim, it says, Nadav and Avihu died when they brought in Esh Zara, Uvanim lo hayu lahem, they had no sons. So what's the implication? Ha, Yubalem banim lo meitu. If they had had sons, they wouldn't have died. That's the implication. Of course, simple pshat is they died for one of several other things that happened that mentions in Parshat Shmini, but that's the drasha. Achim omrim goreim l'shchinash tisnaleg n'Yisrael. Achim, Rav Meir says that not having children causes the Shechina to leave Yisrael. Shneimar leot lacha l'alim l'uzaracha acharecha. We had this much earlier in the Masechet, another context. When Hashem made the breed with Avram, he said, I will be your God and to your kids afterwards. Right? What does that mean? When you have kids, then the Shekhinah is there. If you don't have kids, you're the end of the line. So then who is the Shekhinah going to rest on? On rocks, on stones, on sticks and on stones? So you need to have another generation for the Shekhinah to continue to rest al Am Yisrael. That takes us now to the next Mishnah, which we will study in the next relatively long podcast, which takes us to the end of the Perek, and does conclude at least part of our study of the mitzvah of Piri Aviv. Everyone should have a wonderful day.